So what does wellness mean to you?
Hey guys, my guest today is a fellow runner, podcaster, and coach, and his passion for coaching definitely runs deep. He's been coaching for almost as long as he can remember, and he's been doing it in a variety of different arenas, from coaching football to coaching small business owners to coaching triathletes and also runners. He's actually an expert and certified in the Qi running technique, and he credits that style of running and training with allowing him to really rediscover his joy for our sport and continue to do it as just as life and all the things that around it. Qi running has really been a blessing to him. So it's a pleasure. It is a pleasure to be able to spend a little bit of time today chatting and running with Mr. Eric Collard. Thanks for joining us, Eric, and welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. It's one of those things. I work in public relations for the most part, so I love to talk about other people. And then being a podcaster, I love interviewing people. But when the camera or the microphone's turned on you, it's fun, but it's always sometimes a little unnerving. But I'm really looking forward to this.
Well, I'll do my best to be gentle. I promise. Guys, if you want to check out more about Eric and what he's got going on and his website and his podcast and the whole nine yards, check out ecinc.ca. And on the Twitter, you can connect with him there at _ecinc. Again, the same handle both places, which is always convenient. And the podcast will be coming soon. It's out on the website, but it's not yet to iTunes yet, so you can't quite find it unless you go to the website, but that's coming soon, possibly by the time this show is actually released. And the title of that is Wellness Wednesdays. So definitely check that out. Again, it's on the website and it will be coming to an iTunes or a podcatcher near you. And we'll have links to everything that we talk about today in the show notes for this episode, which you can find at disruns.com/416. So Eric, the way we always start off the show is with a very simple and straightforward question that sometimes has a very simple and straightforward answer, and sometimes it's the exact opposite of that, but it just gives us a great place to start the chat with, and that is to just simply ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
Oh, that's a tough one. I don't know. Like now, as I get older and as I'm running more for fun than for like times and whatnot, the longer distances are really what draws me in. I've done over the last couple of years, I've done a couple, and there have been mostly multi-sport races, some adventure races, where you get to kind of be in nature for, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 20, 30, 6 hours. So to me, that's where you kind of get to find out a bit more about yourself. You get to see the sights and sound. You get to smell the fresh air. You get to get rained on. You get to get hailed on. And you get to really kind of and experience the elements. Mm-hmm. When I started running probably about just over 10 years ago now, I was like doing a 5K. And I think my first year I raced a lot. Like I did probably 7 or 8 5Ks. And I was just trying to lower my time like any kind of amateur newbie mm-hmm. is doing. It's like, oh, I took, I think I might have taken something like 7 minutes off my 5K PB. But when you start very high, it's very easy to take
right.
that time off. And then now as I'm getting older, I don't race much. Even if I race, I'm not really looking at it like, okay, I got a PB again today. It's more, hey, let's see what today holds. And it's all like my whole strategy and my outlook on racing has changed completely.
When you got started, it was maybe a little bit more serious towards the time, and it's kind of changed over the course of the years. How did you get started in running? I feel like from some previous conversations that maybe running wasn't your most natural thing from the beginning, but how'd you find our sport?
No, it definitely wasn't natural. So I played college football. So I was an offensive lineman. So I played my last year at 305, so 305 pounds. And I always joke that the only running I used to do back then was to the front of the buffet line. When you're 305 pounds, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're just running 100 meters, it's a lot of weight to move around. I wasn't, and it's funny because before I found about proper biomechanics, I thought there's two camps of runners, the natural runners and the people that just did it to lose weight or do something different to get better. But I was definitely in the camp that running wasn't natural. I could do it. I mean, I had a sports background. I played, coming from Canada, I played hockey since I was 4. I played football since I was 15. So I really enjoyed the competitive aspect. And what I used to tell people when I started running, I used to enjoy the actual act of running. But then I would feel like I got hit by a truck after every long run. And then I started looking into more. Okay, there's how come all these people are running 100, 200K a week? How can this be? How can it be when I was, you know, I was broken after I was running 10 or 20 or 30K, especially. So it's definitely been an evolution. And I mean, chi running has been part of that. And it's also just the discovery part. I obviously became a certified chi running instructor, but I've taken a lot of courses, read a lot of books, listened to a lot of books. And I'm a bit of a geek in terms of really figuring out what makes people be able to run properly and to enjoy running. For me now, the times are fun, like, and especially for a lot of clients, they, when they come to me, and I'm sure same thing with you, they're like, okay, I want to lower my half marathon or lower my marathon or my 10K. But to me, it's like, if you enjoy what you're doing and you get better at it, it'll automatically lead to better outcomes. So, but I think a lot of people are so driven by times. And whereas I'm especially now purely driven by enjoyment. Just to just give you the Coles notes. I got started in the early 2000s. I had played football and I got a fairly big injury in football, which ended my football career. I got a herniated disc and a pinched nerve in my back. So to rehab, I started swimming, and then I started doing triathlons just to kind of, because you went to an athlete for most of your life, you kind of have those competitive juices. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, how can I stimulate those juices, but obviously not kill my body, because I know that, trust me, being in your mid-20s and being bedridden for 3 months is not fun for anyone. So it's like, I definitely don't want to be back there. So I had to look into what can I do to treat my body with respect. I obviously realized that being 305 pounds is not conducive to a lifestyle where I'm not pushing people around every day. So I slowly got into triathlons, and then unfortunately, or fortunately, whichever way you look at it, there is some running involved in triathlon. So I started doing some local sprint triathlons, which is a 5K, and then moved up to the, you know, the Olympic distance, which is a 10K. Then started doing some half Ironman, and then I was actually the last person in my family to do Ironman. And the good thing is I set the family record in Ironman, so I was allowed back at the dinner table after after that happened. But and to me, it was almost kind of always pushing yourself. And then I took a retirement from racing mostly after my Ironman, and now I just kind of race and do a lot of these things for fun. Mm-hmm. But it's been an evolution. Ironically, I actually picked up chi running after my Ironman career. So it was one of those things that I wish I could go back, but unfortunately, you know, life happens as it does. So it was a nice, and now I'm lucky I get to teach people all over the country. I've taught close to 1,000 runners from this both sides of the country, from BC all the way to PEI and the Maritimes. So it's been a great journey. I never considered myself a runner. And then all of a sudden I became a running coach. So it was one of those things that, and especially because even when I was down to, I was doing Ironman, I got down to a low weight for me, which is about 225 pounds. But at 6'4", it's still like, you know, it's not small by any means, but I could do the distances. And now that I'm, you know, I'm about 250 pounds or so, and I can still run long distances and haven't been injured in close to 10 years now because of my awareness and my, you know, emphasis on biomechanics.
Do you still do a lot of triathlon, like maybe not the races themselves? I don't know. Maybe you still do some triathlons as well, but like the swimming and the biking, do you still do all kinds of the cross training things, or are you mostly into the running now?
I you go through phases. I find I was into a lot of running, for a few years, especially after picking up chi running. And now I'm back into the multi-sport race. Mm-hmm. I did a couple of adventure races the last few years, mostly because my brother conned me into it. and some longer distance stuff. Like one of them was a 300K race in Gaspésie and really hilly part of Quebec. Beautiful, beautiful area. But it, you know, it's very taxing. It's 36 hours. We end up doing 36 hours over 4 days, which might not sound like a lot, but when you're out there and in camping and you're not, you know, you're not eating four course meals, it it's the next morning you wake up and you're already tired from the day before, and then you still have to go out and do a 12-hour day. It really kind of makes you realize, like, okay, what are you made of? So now I'm looking for more for adventures. It doesn't have to be adventure racing, but adventures and experiences, whether it's running a marathon. I ran the New York City Marathon a couple of years ago, just because it was on the bucket list. And everyone that's ran it speaks very highly of it. And I do too now. Like, it's such a cool experience. Again, I didn't set any records. I didn't really train for it. It was just more of a, I want to go out there and soak up the experience as much as possible. So to me, it's like, okay, is there a cool race and a cool place I want to visit? Then I'll do that. Right. Or is there a cool place I want to go and teach? And I'll try to concentrate. So I end up concentrating more on the teaching side now. I'm coaching a few athletes. And for me now, it's more of the, I don't really train as I stay active. I still play hockey and in a few leagues. I play softball. I run. I cycle. I swim a little bit. I do some weights. I do a lot of snowshoeing here in the winter. I've even done some snowshoe racing, which is such a Canadian thing to do, right? And actually, snowshoe racing, just a quick aside, is probably one of the toughest things cardio-wise that you can ever do. Mm-hmm. Running in snowshoes in deep snow up and down hills, it's pretty incredible. But again, it makes you, to me, it's like the more I can get outside and enjoy nature, that's kind of where I'm happiest.
Yeah, I'm from Northern Michigan. I've never done any snowshoe racing, but I've certainly done some snowshoe walking, hiking, things like that. And yeah, it is a serious workout. It's not to be glossed over. That's a serious thing.
Yeah, and actually a lot of the local athletes, especially the top bicycle racers or like triathletes, use snowshoe racing as like an off-season training. And most of the people that win those races are some of the best athletes with some of the best engines. So you can tell that it can get pretty serious. But it's to me, again, it's I have a different philosophy. I don't go out there to win the race. I just go out there to enjoy it, stay within myself, especially with the cheat running aspect, in terms of it's all about going as fast as your form and your training will allow you, as opposed to going past that, because that's where a lot of the injuries come in.
Right, right. I want to get into the chi running stuff in a minute, but you did mention New York, and I can't let that pass. I've mentioned this or asked this pretty much the same question to just about everybody who's run New York before. It's a race I haven't run. It's a race that's maybe not on my bucket list, but it's on my it would be nice. Like maybe I haven't entered the lottery yet, but it's on the list of probably at some point we'll start entering the lottery in the next few years or whatever, and maybe try to do it. But you said you enjoyed it. It was a great experience. What were a couple of the highlights of New York City Marathon for you, for those of us that haven't done it yet and are kind of waffling on the consideration? What would be your sales pitch to get us to maybe try to get into that race and experience a big city, one of the biggest city big city marathons in the world?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I've been to New York a bunch of times, some for work and partly for fun and sightseeing. And New York is such a cool city. And I mean, one of the highlights was discovering all the different neighborhoods. You run through the five boroughs, and it's, you get to see different flavors. You get, you style, like, it's basically fans or people cheering you on the entire way. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to not get pumped up when you're running New York. The only downfall of New York is all the bridges.
Right.
And it's funny, runners look at bridges very differently than the average person, because most people don't walk bridges or run bridges. They just, they drive them with a car. So it's like, okay, that's a bridge. We're just going to press on the gas a little bit more. But it's running bridges is fairly tough. It's fairly, it's got a decent grade and it's not fun. It's, concrete jungle. There's no entertainment on bridges either, because there's no one allowed on the sides. So it's the least fun part of the marathon. But the good thing is there's more roads, and you get some hip hop DJs going in one corner. You get a band going in the other corner. You get people cheering. All the signs were incredible. A lot of people, poke fun at some of the running stuff. It was an incredible experience. Something that I still think about every once in a while, and it's like, wow, that was a lot of fun. It's such a cool experience, and it's hard to really do it justice. The entire day, it makes for a long day, because it's a it's a point-to-point race,
right?
Which is, and so you have to get yourself to the start line. So I was staying near Central Park, so I had to take the subway, to take the ferry, to take a bus, to then walk to the start line. So I think it took me like about 3 hours to get to the start line. And then it was a pretty cold day the year I did it. So, and then you get started and you're like, okay. But it was a very incredible experience. Finishing, the run in Central Park is pretty darn cool as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's something that has gone from, maybe, but I don't really care to from hearing so many folks and so many, you know, just kind of like what you said, where it's really hard to put it into words, but it's just a really cool experience. So it's, for me now, it's more along the lines of like, yeah, I'll probably try to get into that race at some point. It's just a matter of making it work with all the other aspects of life. But it sounds like a good experience. And I don't think I've heard anybody or too many people say anything bad. I don't know if I've ever heard anybody say anything bad about it. So it's definitely on the list now.
No, I would do it again. I mean, I went because I didn't qualify with my time. I went through the lottery thing as well, and it took me a couple of years to get in, but it was definitely worth it. I mean, New York's got such a cool energy to it, and you get to leverage that for, you know, as long as you run it.
Right.
It was awesome.
Good. So Chi running. Yeah, I'll be honest. I know maybe just enough to be dangerous, but not enough to really know anything. You know any of the finer points of Chi running. I got the book a while back and read part of it, and maybe about two thirds of the way through it, and a lot of it was stuff that I felt like I'm kind of doing all this stuff. I maybe kind of fell into it. I don't know if by accident is right, but maybe through trial and error of you know, just some of the basic things about the form and the lean and the core and all of the things about it. But from somebody who obviously knows quite a bit more about Chi running and the finer points of it than I do, for those that haven't heard anything about it or are skeptical but haven't really ever looked into it, could you give us a little kind of rundown or overview of what Chi running is and kind of maybe a little bit about why you think it's helped you so much, once you kind of discovered it and really adopted it into your running practice?
Sure. So Chi running at its base, it's the principles of Tai Chi. So moving with the laws of nature and applying it to proper running biomechanics. The book is great. And I tried learning it from the book, and I am a visual learner and I'm a kinesthetic learner. So as much as the book was great, and the book is the Bible, and I go back to it every once in a while. But to me, it's especially if you can get someone to teach you the finer things and give you that feedback. And that's where this coaching stuff really comes in handy. Same thing when I started picking up golf. I mean, you can read a book about golf, but until you actually are doing it properly, I find there's a lot of similarities, especially in same thing with swimming. Once you realize what you're doing and how you're doing it and doing it right, then it just feels right. Mm-hmm. But getting there is not always that easy. It's not a linear exercise. So basically, to me, for the people that I teach, I tell them that Chi running is basically the system to teach your body how to move properly through the running form. It's, you know, it's kind of a step by step. We spend a lot of time on posture. We spend some time on some walking drills with the pull to gravity. Everyone's like, oh, I know how to walk. And like, yeah, I know you know how to walk, but are you walking as efficiently as possible?
Mm-hmm.
So the two principles that are interwoven in everything that that we do in Chi running is in energy efficiency and injury prevention. And people are like, okay, what about speed? And I'm like, if you do those two things properly, it will lead to speed. But it's more of a speed as a byproduct of everything else that you're doing properly, as opposed to something that you technically work on every single time you're out. It's helped me tremendously, partly with my background. And being a heavier runner, you have to be efficient, or else you're putting a lot more stress on the body because you've got more weight to carry. And it just made me more aware with my injuries that, okay, I want to be able to run. And now that I've read a lot and I realize that running isn't bad for you, it's just running badly that's bad for you.
Right.
And but a lot of people kind of confuse the two. And I've been running, probably close to 15 years now. And I did get injured, but it's because I wasn't doing the things properly. I have clients that are in their 60s and 70s and they credit Chi running with adding another 10 to 20 years on their running lives. It does take a little bit of time, but to me, the basis is just building awareness in that running form. Mm-hmm. And once you have that, then everything kind of flows from that. And because a lot of people, and I'm sure you know this from coaching, they have no idea what happens when they're running. they have no idea what their body does. Ask them about the posture, and they're like, "Well, I'm standing." I'm like, "Yeah, no, but are you actually aligned?
Right.
And what is your arm swing doing when you're running? What are you relaxing your ankles? How's your foot striking? Like all these things that I think the average runner would have no clue about." And so this is really it's a program that gets you to teach you all those things, kind of starting from A to Z.
Mm-hmm. And guys, if you want to check out the book, since today we are sponsored by Audible, you can get the book for free and try out Audible for 30 days, and the book is yours to keep. No strings attached. You can cancel or not renew or whatever after before your 30 days. But head over to disruns.com/audible, get yourself signed up there. That throws a little bit back my way, which doesn't come from you at all. It comes from Audible, so it's a great way to support the show. And you can check out Chi Running and or anything else. I mean, all kinds of business, all kinds of fiction, nonfiction, whatever you might be interested in. Disruns.com/audible is a great way to do that. And take a book with you on the go, just like you're taking a podcast with you on the go. You take a book with you, learn something, and be entertained. Whatever floats your boat. So disruns.com/audible to try out Chi Running or whatever else might be interested in. So Eric, kind of shifting gears, maybe just a little bit away from running specifically, but get into more into the coaching side of things. And again, I mean, like you said, you coach with runners and triathletes and a whole host of things. But I noticed on your website where you said that, like I mentioned in the intro, that you've been coaching for pretty much as long as you can remember. What got you into what was the bite of the coaching bug? What got you started down that road in all of the different areas that you've been in on a coaching spectrum?
So the coaching really got started in the football world. I got injured my last year of football, and which is a big thing. It's your senior year. I actually got invited to be part of this all-star camp for Canadian football players, which was a big deal back then. But then I fell in the medical, and that was the end of my football career. And then I was like, okay, I didn't want to blame football, so I was trying to say, is there a way that I can still be involved in football? And because I love the game, and I think the game taught me a lot of stuff, and taught a lot of my friends, and the people that I met through the game have become my best friends. So it was kind of a twofold thing. So I started doing some media stuff. We then started my PR career. I started doing some color commentary for radio and TV for the local outlets.
Mm.
And then I started writing a lot about football, and then I also started coaching high school football because there's a local high school, and they love to have someone, especially that's still relevant. So it's great to have 65-year-olds teach kids these days, but they're using techniques that were maybe popular 30 or 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. Whereas I just finished playing, and I think of myself, I was still somewhat useful to the youth, and they could relate, especially I went to school in a small town, so like. The football team is a big deal down there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just kind of got that bug to be able to see the changes in people. And to me, it all comes down to that awareness. So like a lot of the kids, they're sponges, and a lot of athletes are sponges. They just want to know. They just don't know any better. So they're doing something that they're not doing out of malice. They're just doing it out of not knowing. And, so to me, to be able to help and kind of give back a little bit, because I was lucky. I had some pretty good coaches growing up, and those really helped me. I don't want to get too cheesy, but I grew up as a single. My mom was a single mom, so I didn't really have a huge father figure in my life. But those coaches, those male coaches, whether it's through hockey, football, baseball, all those sports,
mm-hmm.
they taught me a lot of the lessons. And I was like, okay, if I can do a little bit of that and give back, then it's a huge it's a beneficial not only for the kids, I think, but also it's been a huge benefit for me, and that's kind of led to obviously football, and I started teaching spinning, which was kind of a quasi coaching, quasi people yelling at other people, and then got into the Chi Running and triathlon, and I really found my groove there, because I really enjoy what the Chi Running has to say. It's just that, and I think the fact that I don't look like a runner. I'm not your typical, Kenyan runner body type. I don't win any races, so I think a lot of folks can relate to that, and they're just out there trying to get better as runners, not trying to win the race. And now I do a lot of coaching on the PR side. We do a lot of media training across the country, and it's a lot of the same principles. What is the athlete / client? What are they looking for, and how can you help them get there? Obviously, you have to educate yourself as a coach, and that's what I'm always trying to do. I'm listening to books on Audible and all that stuff. I listen to podcasts. I listen to audiobooks. I read a lot. I go to conferences. I take courses so that if I am coaching, I don't want to always be saying the same thing mm-hmm. to every single athlete. It's one of those things that if you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Right.
And cheat running is great, but it's not the end all be all. There's some people who don't really relate to it. It's like, okay, but the way I look at it is the principles that are taught in cheat running can be applied to a lot of different things. And it's very similar to total immersion swimming for those who are swimmers. And it's very similar to a lot of the stuff that I'm taking golf lessons now. And it's a lot of similar principles. It's just using your body as efficiently as possible. Especially coming from a power background, from football and mm-hmm. hockey, I was trying to power my way through everything. And if you ever try to power your way through a swim, you realize you can do it. But then, you know, the water is always going to win.
Right.
And same thing with the ground, gravity. Like if you're trying to pound out a 5K, you could probably do it, but it's just not going to be enjoyable. Mm-hmm. You're just going to be beat up after, and then you're going to blame running. So to me, it's been a little more holistic approach to sports. And because again, if you're not enjoying it and you're not winning money at it, then why the hell are you doing it?
Yep. Yeah, that's my thing too. Like we got to make it fun, because the folks I'm working with, they're not doing it to, you know, they're competitive with themselves for the most part, but they're certainly not winning big races. They're not getting big checks because of their race performance. So yeah, always has to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's at the end of the day, like, it's again, there are a few of us that not us, there are a few of them that have some aspirations, but most of the time, and the good thing about running is you can actually peak well into your 30s and 40s. Mm-hmm. But again, you're so right. It's all about like competing with yourself now. And I just compete. It's like, and I have a kind of a new challenge now is how far can I run with using little to no food? Mm-hmm. So now again, it's a different challenge as opposed to how can I run faster. For me, it's how can I be as efficient in my form, in my nutrition, and all that stuff. So it just, you know, you got to keep it fun. And to me, it's, can you get the blood flowing and get a smile on your face when you finish, whether it's a race or a run with your friends?
Mm-hmm. From your perspective as a coach, and you know, like we've said, and you've mentioned coaching in a variety of different aspects, whether it's different sports, different fields of life in general, with the PR stuff, and you know, whatever it might be. But from your perspective, what is it that makes someone successful when they work with a coach? I don't know if the way to say it is what do you look for when somebody's, you know, talking about working with you that makes you think that they're going to be successful, or just, you know, what attributes, you know, if somebody's thinking about working with a coach, no matter who it is, or if somebody maybe already is working with a coach and not maybe seeing the results that they would like, what things would maybe help that person to be more successful that they're in control of in that coach client type of relationship?
I think for me, it really comes down to an open mind. Mm-hmm. My approach is probably probably different than a lot of coaches. I go with less is more. A lot less mileage, a lot less, you know, workouts probably, and especially for duration. Because again, to me, it's like, Bill, especially for someone that's trying to move up in distances, they just kind of increase the mileage or increase the intensity. And then that usually leads to injury. So for me, it's kind of taking a step back and figuring out where you are, and then kind of going, where do you want to go? And then kind of building a smarter way of getting there. A lot of folks, and it's just the way that the running world and the triathlon world works, is that it brings out A-type folks. Mm-hmm. So those folks are very fixated on time. And I do a lot of heart rate training. So it's like, okay, I don't really care about your pace right now. All like, and then they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, just, I want you to run in the good zones. Mm-hmm. So, and for some people, they're almost walking for the first month. And I'm like, trust me, just keep an open mind and trust me. And this method is tried and true. It's been around for quite some time. But for a lot of folks, a lot of new runners, they have one speed. And I was like this when I started.
Mm-hmm.
You run at one speed all the time. All your workouts are basically one speed. And whether it's cycling, running, swimming, anything, it's always one speed. And then you realize that's good for that one speed, but that's a very narrow band that you're building.
Right.
So it's getting people to take a step back and say, okay, now I want you to run ridiculously slow.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care about but I want you to keep your heart rate very, very low. And then they realize, okay, well now, okay, for the first month it's boring and they probably curse my name. But it's all about building that base and building a much wider band. And so that you can do some of the stuff down the road without hurting yourself. But it is a lot of, like, I think an open mind and also like making sure there's a fit. Cause you might not be the best coach for everyone. I might not be the best coach for everyone. It's just, do you have rapport with the person? You share the same kind of goal, same outlook on life. Cause I've had athletes I worked with for a season and then we both moved on and that's okay.
Right.
And it just makes you realize there's the cool thing now is there's a lot of coaches out there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the same thing with shoes. Like if you like one brand, go with that brand. If you don't like that brand, change the brand. Like it's keeping that open mind and being very aware and also honest about what you're looking for. And I tell people, if you're looking to increase your time next month, I am not your coach.
Yep.
But if you're looking to run and enjoy running for the rest of your life, I might be someone you want to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's and again, I turned away some people. I had someone come to me and they're like, "Well, I'm running a marathon next month and I want a PB," and I'm like, "Well, good luck."
Yep.
Yeah. Again, to me, it's especially as you get older, you have to be realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a short, people are always looking for easy fixes. And I don't think there are any. I mean, there's a couple of little things that you can do, like increase your cadence will help you in any way. But, you know, that's probably not going to cure you of everything.
Yeah, I heard a quote. I've heard it several times on different podcasts. I think it's one of the. I think it's maybe Sonny Simone is the originator of it. I don't know if it's her quote or if she just mentions it a lot on some of the copy blogger type of podcasts I listen to. But she says, "Don't take shortcuts because they take too long." And I think that applies to running as much as it does to just about anything. Where you look for that way to cut the corner, and it just might. Make it a little bit easier in the very, very, very short term, but long term, you're setting yourself up for a problem by looking for that instant fix, that shortcut to get faster or to run farther or whatever it might be. It's a dangerous game to play with the shortcuts.
Yeah. And I always tell my athletes, like, yeah, the long, slow stuff, it's boring, but you're putting money in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And it's same thing with weight loss. People are always looking at like, I want to lose 20 pounds next month.
Right.
It's like, well, you can probably do it if you starve yourself. But again, it's probably not the best way to do it long term.
Right. Exactly.
But again, most people, and exactly what I said earlier, this brings out the A-type folks, and they're always like, "Well, no, I want this yesterday." And mm-hmm. It's like, "Well, that in running, especially running, is a weight bearing exercise, so you have to be careful,
mm-hmm.
especially if you don't have a big base, that you have to really build that base, and sometimes it can take a few years."
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing is if you're doing it properly, then you can run pain-free and enjoy running into your 70s and 80s.
Right.
And to me, that's the ultimate goal.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm so glad to hear you say build the base, because I think my clients get sick of it, because that's pretty much all I ever tell any of them is we're doing this to build the base. We got to build the base. And then I'm glad to have a different voice saying the same thing, so that maybe if they're zoning me out, if they're listening to this, it'll get through their head with a different voice. But shifting gears a little bit, but before we wrap things up, the podcast, we mentioned it at the beginning. It's new-ish, about 30, 31 episodes or so as we're recording now, but not quite yet on iTunes, but that's coming soon. Tell us a little bit about the podcast. What is it? What is it all about, and why'd you start it?
That's another great question. It's partly to scratch my own itch, mm-hmm. and partly I'm very lucky because I teach all over the country and I've got some contacts all over, you know, North America and a few all over the world. I have access to a lot of these people and I have these, I always have these great conversations. And it's like, why don't I just record some of these? And that's kind of how Wellness Wednesdays came out. And I also have varied interests. I mean, I love running and I love triathlon, but I also love nutrition and chiropractic and mental health stuff and meditation. So, and I've got contact in all those fields. So it was one of those things that I was like, hmm. And I also really got into podcasts about a year ago. Like it's one of those things that podcasts, like, I was like, why am I listening to music when I can actually learn something? And especially podcasts like this, where it's more of a conversation. It's like you're learning something, but you're also enjoying a conversation. Mm-hmm. So, and being a former journalist, it kind of led, it's like, I can do this stuff. You know, you have to kind of get used to the different format that a podcast is. But I've really enjoyed the, I really enjoyed the journey. So Wellness Wednesday basically is, we look at a different aspect of wellness every week. And yeah, running is a big part of it. I had a runner on this week. I've had someone talk about work-life balance, because again, a lot of people think of wellness as like weights and meditation, but there's a lot of aspects to it. And the cool thing is being something broad enough, like I always obviously bring it back to wellness, but we talk about all kinds of stuff. We, you know, we've talked about some, you know, the chiropractic and the, that world, and we've talked about volunteering, and we've talked about, you know, the mental health aspect. We've talked about nutrition a lot. It's just, I think it's, and I think people are looking, they're realizing it, being well is not eating an avocado or going to the gym. Like those are two good things. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But there's a lot more in the spectrum. And, I had a shaw, an apprentice shaman or shaw woman, I guess, talk to me about, you know, doing a journey, and we did a journey together, not on the podcast, but before. And it was like, this is, it's just about figuring out what works for you. And some people are like, well, that's a little too woohoo for me. And I think, okay, well, that might not be the episode you want to listen to. You might want to listen to, one of the episodes I interviewed a world-class runner on. So again, it's, I think, and to me, it's some of the people listen to a couple episodes, it opens their mind on really what wellness can be.
Yeah, and I love that you mentioned that, you know, it can include running, it can include weights or this or that or the other thing, but you know, there is a lot more to it. And mentioning like work life balance, I mean, that's a huge thing, or making family time, making that a priority, whatever it might be. That, you know, that, like you said, there's so many avenues of wellness, and to have a show like that with talking to folks from all different, you know, slices of life and different experiences and different things, but it all ties back to just being, you know, taking care of yourself and being healthy. I think that's it's a great idea, topic to discuss, and very much wide open, and looking forward to seeing it grow. I mean, 30 episodes in, that's a pretty big deal. That's a lot more than a lot of podcasts get to. So you're ahead of the curve already, and hopefully it'll continue to grow and be something that you continue to enjoy doing for a long time.
Yeah, well, and I'm hoping to have you on soon. And it's one of those things that, again, to me, it's all about sharing stories and how you can make wellness relatable, or whether in your case, running relatable. Because we all come to wellness, running, wherever you want to look at it, through a different lens. Like if you would ask me 20 years ago, hey, by the way, you're going to get paid to teach running all over the country. You're like, you're a funny, funny person. But that's actually what's happening now. And I'm really enjoying it. And same thing with the podcast. You told me like you're going to start a podcast and start talking to people about meditation. I'd be like, what? But then, you know, like the more you talk about it, the more it opens up the world. And now I started meditating a lot more and doing more yoga and stuff that I probably wouldn't have been able open to 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's like a lot of things. You start down that path and who knows where it might lead, and typically it ends up in a pretty good place if you're, you know, going at it with the right intentions. So that's exciting, and certainly, like I said, looking forward to continuing to follow along, and especially once it gets on that iTunes, man, that's when you'll start to see some people listening to it, because it's a lot, you know, it's easy to find. But guys, again, right now it's on the website, ecinc.ca is the website. You can find the most recent episodes there, and check it out on the iTunes or whatever podcatcher soon. hopefully by about the time that this episode gets released, so that'll be real easy. But Eric, as we're getting close to wrapping things up today, the way that I enjoy ending our chats is with something I call a philosophical question. So it's very much open ended. I've literally had answers that are two or three words long. Have had plenty of answers that are a couple sentences, and occasionally a few that linger on for 10 or 15 minutes, and all are okay. So it's very much wide open. No right answer, no wrong answer, no expected length of answer. Just your view on the following question. I think what I'd like to ask you. Is in the time that you've been running, so for the 10 plus years or so that it's been that you've really kind of gotten into it and really found joy in the sport, and as your joy in the sport has or your focus in the sport, maybe a better way of saying it, has diversified, has gone from maybe racing more to now, like you said, enjoying the experiences, enjoying the time with other people or different locations, whatever it might be, what has been in the running world and being a runner, what has that taught you about yourself that maybe you wouldn't have known had you never gotten bit by the running bug and started down the path that you're on today?
Well, that is a very good question. And I came from a team sport world, growing up playing hockey and football for the most part. And then you're like, okay, well, I'm part of something, but it's not really about me. And it's not that I'm a very selfish person, but the cool thing about running and to an extension triathlon, it makes you realize you can do just about anything. When I was playing football, if you had told me like, in 10 years from now, you're going to be doing Ironman, I'd be like, yeah, whatever. that's never going to happen. But then, and you think, even when you start doing your first sprint, you're like, I'm never going to do an Ironman. But then all of a sudden, a little couple steps here and there. And if you believe in yourself, and sometimes, some days you don't, but you just keep kind of putting in some of the work, stuff just happens. And it's just keeping your eye on the prize and getting out there. And it builds so much confidence. Like once you've done a marathon or you've done an Ironman, it makes you realize like I can do just about anything. Mm-hmm. And it really builds that self-confidence. And what you use that for after is up to you. I mean, I try to, I've done a lot of charity runs and whatnot to be able to give back to the community a little bit, but it's, that's something that you'll never be able to take away. And then I can use that in my day to day. It's something that's like, it's not like that much fun, or this is going to be a long project. Well, okay, how can we chunk this out and kind of plan it out so that it doesn't become as overwhelming? Mm-hmm. And then you realize that the couple of first steps you take are probably the hardest. And then you're like, oh, this isn't so bad after all. And then, next thing you know, when you're done, it's, enjoying that moment of and that accomplishment. And it's not always easy as runners, because once we've done that, we're like, hey, what's next? Mm-hmm. But as I get older, I'm really trying to take a step back and say, this is great. Let's just enjoy it for a moment. And then after I've done that, then maybe I can plan the next thing.
Right. That's a great answer and a perfect way to wrap up this chat today. So again, guys, ECINC.ca is the website, and on the Twitter @_, don't forget that underscore, you'll miss it, but @_ECINC to connect with Eric and say hey and check out his podcast, because it's a good one and certainly worth checking out. Dizruns.com/416 is the link for the show notes for this episode. If you need any of that contact information or any of anything related to this episode, that's where you can find it. Eric, thank you for taking the time today. Thanks for connecting and chatting, and like I said, looking forward to seeing what the future holds for the podcast, continued growth there and continued enjoyment and everything else as well. Nothing but the best going forward, and certainly looking forward to staying in touch and seeing what the future holds for you.
And thank you very much for having me. And hopefully if I'm in your area, we'll get out for a slow run, but then we'll get to smell the roses along the way as well.
I would love it. So let's make that happen at some point.
All right. Thanks again.